A very good morning on behalf of Teach 6:30. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Makos Yud Ches, Makos 18b, pagination is 36. We will do one line, which is in the wide lines at the bottom of the page, the second wide line. Our topic is Bikurim, which is the first fruit. A farmer would mark the first fruit, and he would bring it up to Yerushalayim with great thanksgiving. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Kisavo, V'lokach ha-kohen ha-tene mi-yodecha, the Kohen would take the basket from the hands of the farmer. Limid al ha-bikurim, this teaches us regarding bikurim, she-tu'unim tenufa, that it requires the special waving process where the Kohen does this acceptance, this transfer from the farmer to the Kohen. It's done with a specific waving, which they do together. So we touched on the topic of Bikurim in yesterday's session, where we discussed at what point does the Bikurim become permitted for the Kohanim to eat. When it gets put down, it becomes permitted to the Kohanim the way we paskin. I'd like today to do a bit of an overview of the process of Bikurim, at least enough that we go a little bit before and a little bit after the Tnufa, which is discussed in today's daf, so that we have an understanding of how Bikurim works. So the basic concept is that the first fruit were marked by the farmer as they began. And in Perek Dalid of Hilchas Bikurim, the Rambam describes in Halacha Tazayin, Ketzed Ma'alinas HaBikurim, how would they indeed bring the Bikurim up from the individual cities to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, where they would do this presentation. So the Rambam tells us, Berov Am Hadras Melech, the people of the city would join together and schedule a time that they're coming at the same time. They would come close to Yerushalayim, and as they would enter together, the Ba'alei Umniyos Sheb Yerushalayim in Halacha Yudzayin, the craftsmen of Yerushalayim that were working, Omdim Mipneihem, would stand up as they entered to honor their coming, V'shoalim B'shloman, and they would ask how they're doing. Achenu anshe makom ploni boachem b'shalom. Our brothers, people of whatever city it was, come in peace. And they would go through Yerushalayim with musical instruments until they got to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, at the Beis HaMikdash, we have the mitzvah to read a section from Parshas Kisavo. It's divided into two statements. One is the statement of Higadeti Hayom LaHashem Elokecha, like the word Haggadah, where the farmer makes a grand declaration of appreciation. And then he says, Arami Oved Avi, the story of Lavan wanting to destroy Yaakov early on, Parshas Vayetze. The Rambam tells us in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph of Bikurim, that those who were able, the farmers who were literate, were able to say this from the Psukim, and those who weren't, Makrinoso, they would guide them in saying it, perhaps word for word, like sometimes we teach brachas to people who aren't familiar. Says the Rambam, they found that the people who didn't know were embarrassed. Hiskinu bezdin shiumakrines misha hu yodea kimisha ene yodea. The result was that they started guiding everyone in how to say it so that everybody should be equal. A bit similar to the concept that originally a person who got an aliyah would lane his own portion. And as we have it today, it's not done like that, and the Balkorei is the one who prepares the laning, and the Ole, for whom the laning really is being read on his behalf for the public, he just makes the brachas, and he listens and preferably reads along with the Balkorei. But we have this concept that those who would know used to actually do it themselves, but we switched that so that everybody should be equal, and the person who does not know should not be embarrassed. In Halacha Yud Beis, Higia Lahar Habayis, when they got close to the Beis HaMikdash, Notel HaSal Al Kesefo, the farmer would take the basket of first fruit on his shoulder. Hu ba'atzmo, he personally, he does not make a shliach to do this, he does it personally. Had he made a shliach from the beginning, when he was originally designating the bikurim, he could send it with a shliach. That's possible, the Rambam at the end of Perek Beis. But if he's doing it personally, he does so. Afilu hu melech gadol, even if he's a great king. V'nichnas ad shemegia la'azara, he enters into the Beis HaMikdash, v'kore v'odeo asal al kseifo, the basket is still on his shoulder. It's a great ceremony. And he says, higadati hayom la'shem elokecha, with great appreciation, bossi, I have come to the land that was promised. Umorid asal me'al kseifo, he lowers it from his shoulder. And at that point, he's holding it, and the Kohen puts his hands underneath it. Umeinif, they do the tenufa, v'kore, and then he says, Arami Oved Avi, the story of Lavan, originally trying to eradicate the Jewish people before they even started, and then the story of Paro in Mitzrayim, and how Hashem redeemed us to this land, he says, Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, the land that flows with milk and honey. And so, Hine Hevesi, behold, I have brought the Bikurim, the first fruit. Also noteworthy is, as the Rambam describes in Halacha Yedalid, HaBikurim Te'unim Lina. Bikurim require that the farmer stays overnight after this event. In other words, lo yetze ba'oso hayom Yerushalayim lachzo l'mekomo. He's not allowed to leave on that same day back home. He has to stay overnight, which is an expression of a noteworthy event which we still want to savor, and he doesn't want to be 1 foot out the door as he does the Bikurim mitzvah. Instead, he's staying overnight, savoring the experience. As we mentioned, it was accompanied with a lot of music and was clearly a very noteworthy event on an annual basis, an expression of appreciation, remembering where we came from and where we have arrived with Hashem's blessing. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.